My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are continuing and concluding our discussion of Grand Theft Auto V, an open world action game developed and published by Rockstar Games for the PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2013. There we go.
Yeah. You'll want to stay tuned. We got an exclusive announcement at the end that is the release date for Grand Theft Auto VI.
Yep.
It's here. You wouldn't think they would break it on this podcast, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we need to make sure it goes under the radar. What's a middle tier podcast we can announce this on?
You're gonna set me up to be really disappointed because we'll announce it and then it'll take like 3 weeks for it to bubble up to the major news sites.
That's kind of why I'm doing it. I'm kind of I feel like I could jinx into existing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I figured Rockstar would want to present that news on a podcast that's incredibly critical of several aspects of their culture and writing.
Yeah, just the things that are very foundational to the core of their being as an organization and has been for decades.
Yeah, you want to have a skeptic on board because that keeps you honest.
It does. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously we say this every time, we got to stop. This will make no sense if you haven't listened to part one. Listen to part one. In fact, go back and listen to every episode of the show.
Yep. There's going to be a lot of continuity that you're just going to be completely out to sea on.
Yep, and you'll want to listen to every episode that comes out after this as well. Yep. What did we do generally last time?
Generally last time, we did, I'd say, roughly the first third of the game. We got through the major act where Michael and Franklin met up and started doing crimes. They hit a jewelry store, which got the attention of Trevor, the dirtbag living in the desert. He has gone down, and now we are in a very kind of shaky arrangement where there are secrets, Trevor's back in their lives, and there are still crimes to be done.
Yep. So let's get down. It's high time for crime time.
Mm-hmm.
Things are technically optional, but these are the most expressive missions in the game, I think. So I did these as well.
Yeah.
Franklin, who is the most morally pure character of them all and the least detestable, is a contract killer.
Right.
And you you become a contract killer for Lester, kind of like a white hat. Contract killer.
Yeah.
You know, like what I would do if I were a contract killer.
Right. He's white hat. Lester, you know, he's got this moral compass about all these rich billionaires and stuff like that, which is right. That's a good thing to do. You know, he's taking him out for reasons, but he's also making bets on the stock market, which I assure you, you do not have to do in this game because money is meaningless.
No, you can't. I did it to watch numbers go up at first, thinking that maybe there'd be a money sink that was worthwhile.
Right. Yeah.
The first one's called the Hotel Assassination. This is a pharma CEO who makes Viagra, but it causes heart attacks. He's leaving a hotel at a certain time, and they suggest either sniping him or using sticky bombs. You post up and scope him out from the parking garage across the street. This turned me on to sticky bombs, which I used constantly in this game.
I am so sticky bomb pilled.
It makes me want one in real life. One of the thing after Grand Theft Auto, after the first part of the episode, I was like, why don't I carjack more? It seems easy. You can't get caught. You know, and you get a car and it just gets you where you're going. I don't need to keep it. I just like pull it and park it somewhere and then just leave. This made me think like sticky bombs would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what I love about the sticky bombs is that they are like perfectly sticky. These are, like these are the sticky bombs that would exist in like a high school physics word problem. You know,
yes.
assume that you're throwing it in a vacuum, assume that friction does not exist, assume that it will perfectly adhere to whatever it lands on, no matter how far away you are from
it's
what
like
you aim
acne.
At or what, yeah, like sticky or what it is made of. Yeah.
And this one has a little bit of reactivity. If you put the sticky bomb on the car, they notice it. They won't notice it if you slide it under the car.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But you get caught regardless of how you do it and you have to get away.
Yeah, yeah. You can also like snipe because you've got to look out from this garage, and you know even that you know because you're going to get caught, you need to set up a like either a block to keep people from rushing in so you can get out the back way, or just you set up your getaway vehicle in a canny way. Again, very expressive. Yeah. These are cool missions. Yeah.
Good mission. The next one is called the multi-target assassination. A tobacco company has bribed jurors in a class action lawsuit. So you have to take them out and you have to take them out within a certain, you have to glide all over, and take them out within a certain amount of time there. This is a little bit hard just because you had to, you know, drive and traffic can fuck you up. And once, you know, somebody knows about you, they'll run. So one of them is a bodybuilder. I shot the wrong guy. The real one ran away and I had to chase him for a while.
I shot so many of the wrong guys and he kept getting away until I finally just decided I'll
Pumpkin
get out.
Hate Speedo, man.
I didn't get out, I drive by, I fired over the heads of everybody at that beach of the beach gym, the beach workout. They all started running in the same direction. I just pumped the gas, baby. I just ran right through them.
You know, because you're a moral paragon if you're the next one's called the Vice Assassination. A software designer, data miner, who frequents a sex worker. I can't remember what he did wrong, but at this point it doesn't really matter. We just know where he shows up to pick her up. You had to watch a lot of Johns show up before he shows up, which is a little bit irritating. A
little bit, but you don't want to use sticky bombs for that because you don't want to harm a sex worker.
I
understand it's a Grand Theft Auto game. That's going to sound like wild thought technology, not harming knight, a sex worker.
But yeah, you just snipe him. Get a sniper rifle. The bus assassination. It's a venture capitalist who's outsourcing his jobs, but he's a penny pincher, so he rides the bus. So you hijack the bus. When you get there, he refuses to get on it there, but you have to drive the route for a while. Then he refuses to get on it, and you run him down. And everybody on the bus freaks out.
And then you abandon the bus.
And get the hell out of Dodge.
The final one, this is less expressive. This is the construction assassination. It's a real estate developer who's all mobbed up, you know, getting people killed or whatever. Got to take him out. This will always turn into a shootout. There's really no way to do this cleanly.
This is probably the mission that took me the most retries in the game, partly because I was lazy. I'd already, you know, it auto-saved at the point when I was on the roof and I hadn't done proper prep. Like, I didn't get armor and stuff for this because I didn't think it'd be a shootout. The rest of these have all been, like, cool stealth missions. So I feel like this one's a little bit dirty pool. You know, but you eventually kill him. And the takeaway here is you get a house. Using all this stuff, they buy a tax shelter house. You could do a live in this lonely house up in the hills.
Yeah, like Nacho.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's seemingly Nacho.
From Breaking Bad, not the not the appetizer,
not the snack
dish. Not the snack. Back to story stuff. Major mission here. Dave Norton, the FIB agent who you know, Michael had his little deal with, he calls Michael for a meetup up at the Observatory Hill. Says like, hey, I know that you did this jewelry store job and we are all, I mean, both of us are fucked because Trevor's back in town. It's going to be really, really hard for me to, you know, keep our arrangement going, so I'm gonna need you to grease the wheels for me. The tiredest looking person who has ever been mocapped.
And this is I kind of like the you know, Dave Norton's not a good guy. Out of the FIB agents, he's the least bad. But this still sucks. you know, all of this stuff. There's a supposed terrorist, this guy named Mr. K. He's supposedly dead. The FIB suspects that he's in protection.
Yes.
Testifying against them, this interagency war.
Yeah.
Here. So the plan
between
is
between the FIB and the IAA, the yeah. CIA, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So the idea is they sneak you into the FIB in a morgue, playing dead. He knocks you out to make mm-hmm. you do this. and then you see if the dead body is real, and then you have to fight your way out.
Here.
So it's like a corridor, third person corridor shooter.
Yeah. Flashing back to 2003 a little bit. You wake up in the body bag on the coroner's table. You can just lie there hearing them talk shit about Michael.
They just talk about him being fat the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, look at this clinically obese man who must weigh 210 pounds. You know?
Yeah,
5'11", 210 pounds? Jesus.
Did they have to take a wall out to get him out of the house?
Yeah. What's eating Gilbert Grape? Shit. It's this guy.
So, but you press the button to wake up and Michael will kill him. And you confirm like, hey, Mr. K is alive. It's an elderly woman who has this toe tag. Then you do the corridor shooter, getting out of there.
Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. When you get out, you call Franklin to do a meetup and just basically be like, hey, I know we're going to work together, but like, you probably want out. I'm working with the feds. Mm-hmm. My crazy friend is in play and he's a walking natural disaster. And Franklin goes, I don't know, man. I just want to score. Let's get mm-hmm. to it. And then, just kind of elides the advice like he does with everything that anyone's ever been said to Franklin.
Yeah. I'm down for anything, but also, man.
Yeah. Just I'll complain about it, but I'll do it. Shit. And then it just continues to say yes in different ways for the rest of the game. So this starts the Mission 3's company. Mm-hmm. Dave calls you to meet with him and, you know, a character who Rockstar is coding to be unlikable.
Yep.
I love that. Like, and it works. It like you hate this guy.
Oh, yeah,
and then
you
get to kill him. Uh-huh. Huge catharsis, you know, uh-huh. When you kill him. But it's just like Rockstar, you know, when they're using their power, when they do it intentionally, it's worse.
Uh-huh.
This guy named Steve Haynes, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah. And then they introduce like it turns out he's the junior sucky guy. They introduce a basically identical, even suckier guy a little bit later.
They're like the fucking Winklevoss twins. Like these two just like Freds from Scooby-Doo, identical shitty Freds.
Gosh, yeah. He's obviously gonna be a problem, this Haynes guy. This Mr. K, the informant that we were sent to confirm, he's in IAA custody. So what we're gonna need to do, we're gonna need to get him out of there. What they've done is they've conscripted Trevor to fly a chopper in, Franklin to provide cover. And then Michael is going to rappel down the side of the building to extract him from the interrogation session. And remember last week when I said they include characters from Grand Theft Auto 4 as though you're going to remember them?
Okay.
Apparently the woman that you that is doing the interrogation is one of the women that Nico dated, but she betrayed him because she was a Fed. So that is her. Just white woman, here you go.
Yeah, just
fan service. Yeah, hoot and holler. And when I recognize this Leo pointing meme.
This is kind of a bummer mission. I think you had to fly a helicopter taking out pursuit helicopters. Like I find this a little bit awkward.
Mm-hmm.
When you finish it, you land. Mr. K is like, oh, thank god the FIB will take better care of me. But then they black bag him. This guy, we're gonna get into this string of missions. This guy was exhibit A for a lot of people talking about this game being tasteless.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, beyond the pale in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Having now played it, I don't think, you know, there are things that are equally bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that necessarily stands out. I don't like the Mr. K plot line.
No.
Particularly.
No.
It crosses the bar for kind of satire.
Yeah.
Almost.
No.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Like the government does do arbitrary shit on no information.
Mm-hmm.
But also, who just presenting that as true isn't that, you know, revelatory.
Yeah, yeah.
We all fucking know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's real weird. It's like this would have sung like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like immediately post 9/11, this might have felt kind of edgy and revelatory.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's bleak that just kind of kept going on for 10 years and continues to this day, but it's not revealing anything.
No,
there's a little bit of like reveling in it.
And there's not really any, so like I read this as like a much more mean-spirited burn after reading, but without the moment at the end where it's like, well, what do we learn? Well, we learn not to do it again, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Way more mean-spirited and way less artful as a version of that. Yeah. Before we do that, there's a mission called Did Somebody Say Yoga? Michael gets in a fight with his wife, her yoga teacher, Fabian. Brings him back and says, you're tense. You should try yoga. It's your anus is not good. Your butthole is not good. You know how yoga guys are always talking about assholes.
Yeah. And the consistency and regularity of your stools, you know, what they are, just the complete anal fixation. Grand Theft Auto V, a game that has the joke where multiple characters, the joke is just that they say namaste.
Yes. You
know, which is a dumb thing, you know, it's going, come on, man. Somebody says that, but like
But it's also easy joke. This introduces. So this, I mentioned this, I think in the last episode, this drives me a little bit nuts because Michael takes it seriously and seems to help. And this is one of those exhibits of like this being a world where characters cannot grow or change.
Right.
Like I liked that he did it, you know, it's a mini game. It's interesting because the, you know, yoga is about stretching. It's making you do this by holding different positions and transition between them with the two sticks in a way that was actually making me kind of lose grip on sticks and not be able to take my thumb off to reposition without losing the pose. I felt like it was actually a pretty good ludic way to do yoga with a controller.
Yeah.
And then my character was like, you know, I do feel better. And and Fabian's like, isn't that great? You know, it's like, cool. You know, whoa, like, are they going to reconcile? Like, you know, like, what's happening here?
Are they going to make the most obvious thing here, which is that his wife is fucking the instructor?
Yeah.
Because, and then, of course, am I right?
Well, yeah. And then also the instructor is, of course, doesn't believe in any of this stuff because nobody believes in things in this game. So he starts groping the wife. Michael goes, whoa, whoa, and starts attacking him. Michael falls in the pool and a man is like, I'm fucking leaving. I get to fuck this guy. I get to be groped by him in front of you. Like, again, I hate him and I hate his family. So he goes and grabs Jimmy to go for a ride, and Jimmy leads you to his drug dealer. And then he doses him. He says, Dad, try this this soda or whatever. It's full of Special K, and kicks you out of the car, stealing your car. And again, it's just like, you know, the idea here is supposed to be like, he's a real bad dad. But everybody in this family is so goddamn awful. Just the worst people in the world.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's you wake up from your trip like on the beach, the camper's pointing right at a bike that you can grab, and you're riding a bike naked home to get the Dear John letter, saying like, hey, moving out, don't feel safe, you're crazy, things are falling apart.
The trip is a fairly famous sequence of this. You fall for a long time over weird flashbacks of things people have said to you. Over weird music. People like this a lot. You know, the idea she's leaving, and again, like, Michael is crazy, shouldn't attack him. I don't like masculinity and stuff in a general sense. It's not the least understandable thing if like a yoga instructor dry humps your wife in front of you to like have a reaction, though. You know, I don't know, like it's you don't necessarily choose violence instantly in that scenario, but also that is provocative. Like, I think legally so. I think a court would consider it provocative.
I don't know. I don't know what constitutes fighting words in that instance.
Fighting humps.
Also, I can't remember. I think Michael tries to he lunges at him and tries to tackle him, but Fabian steps aside and Michael like falls into the pool. I think what it is.
No, that's 100% what happens. She's saying you're too crazy. You know, basically, I assumed it was him attacking her.
Yeah.
At this point, like making the lunge, he didn't even get him. You know, it's not like he like curb stomped this guy. I don't know, like fighting fingerings. You know, there's only so much clit rubs you can do on a wife before the husband can have some kind of reaction. You know, it just, I don't, this would have been stronger if, again, if they took it seriously, like he was coming to terms with this problem he had and his family were a result of, you know, were reacting regularly to him. It has that Grand Theft Auto, there's no straight man.
Right.
You know, everybody is turned up to 11 in a way that's supposed to be funny, but just ends up being mean. Don't like that plot line very much. And the reconciliation is worse.
It's pretty bad.
It's really bad.
The reconciliation has like one of the worst morals, I think.
Yes. It's fucking awful.
We'll talk about it when we get there.
But. Work does not have to have a good moral to be good.
No,
right?
No.
Like we're not Puritans. It's just also though, you're taking the time to show us the moral. Uh-huh. You're taking the time to enforce it and everything. Like it should be words worth hearing, even mm-hmm. if they're worth hearing because they're funny.
Yes.
You know, even if it's a joke or a subversion or anything that isn't something you would ascribe to in real life, I don't dislike it because I don't want people to act like this in real life. Obviously, mm-hmm. I don't want that. Yeah. I dislike it because it's nonsense. Well, it's basically baby talk.
Yeah. It is basically no growth, please.
Yeah. Semiotic baby talk.
You had a chance to do something interesting with that space when you had those people in that booth, when you're writing things down and you just decided to call it a day, which is weird in a product that shows so much effort.
Absolutely Herculean amounts of effort. Like one of the most generous games to ever come out.
Yeah.
we do a mission called Hood Safari.
I don't know if that was mine today. I think I feel pretty bad about saying that out loud.
Weird thing, putting them together is not great. this is also real weird that we forgot about Franklin. So Trevor just drops by.
Yep.
You know, he's just like, hey, I guess we have to interact. We're connected somehow.
Yeah. This person who you've only, remember the guy who's flying that chopper that you were covering?
Yeah. Whatever, man. I guess you're okay.
He just shows up and like, hey, we're best buds. Let's hang out. Let's pass the time. Right.
This is also where the aunt is walking out doing an empowerment walk. And Trevor goes, you know, like the Tim Heidecker stand-up character, fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
But they're going to go buy some drugs from Grove Street, little San Andreas call out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they go buy some drugs, but Trevor, because he's canny, senses something wrong with the deal. They try some coke. It's just off the top half. He goes, I want to try some coke from the bottom half.
Yeah.
It turns out this is a brick of drywall. It's not real. Right. And we do a big fight out of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. And then flee the police. You do end up stealing jet skis from a rapper's shoot. They're making fun of a particular kind of like lifestyle influencer, like MTV rapper kind of guy. MC Clip, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He's doing a shoot with jet skis in the open sewer that is the that is the LA River down there.
Yes.
So you grab that and flee by water.
Yeah. It's relatively fun, you know. Just fine.
Yeah.
We got by the book here. Steve Haynes wants Trevor to torture Mr. K while Michael and Davey go looking for a supposed Azure Bijani terrorist.
Here. Yes. Yeah. This is the mission that drew the most controversy because you actually enact this torture on this man who is insisting accurately that he is just an AV. He's just a home theater installer.
Yes. And so you do plot things happen here. Mm-hmm. Trevor recognizes Dave. You know, that's a problem. Trevor thinks that Brad from way back in the beginning is in jail.
Right.
The FIB has been writing letters to him. There's kind of actually an interesting postscript that will happen after the credits where Dave has been writing those letters and he confesses to it. And they kind of like talk about like, well, you liked that version of Brad. You know, it's real weird. But, you know, for real, Brad is dead. And you do the torture. You select the item. You do it. The guy screams and begs. It's tough to do. Trevor doesn't give a shit,
right?
And then you do the sniping mission. You switch between Michael, where you're getting information and you're getting really, really sketchy information,
right? He has a beard. He's left-handed, and every time Michael's looking at this down the scope at this party house, total party house. Trying to find the guy when they need to get more information, you go back and do different torture, you know, like just literally gamifying, you know, yanking somebody's tooth out. Right.
Yes. You eventually snipe a guy, turns out to be the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here, you know, again, this would probably land a little bit better closer to 9/11, you know, in a different era where this was less accepted as just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
As is, it has that problem where it's just presenting it.
Yeah.
And then to me, the worst part of it. So Steve says, kill Mr. K, but instead Trevor drops him off and does a monologue.
Right.
This. And you can tell the writers think this is what qualifies this mission as satire or making a point and not just indulgent.
And the monologue goes something like, we need to stop pretending that torture is for anybody but the torturer and just accept it, you know, for what it is. Stop pretending that you can get anything valuable out of it.
The beginning part of it where it's like torture doesn't work. Like they had me in the first half, you know, I'm like, yeah, torture doesn't work, man. And he's like, torture is for the torturer. You just want to do it because you enjoy it. And I'm like, oh, I actually don't want to torture. Like this is a very unrelatable like postscript to this. And it's played for a lot of jokes. It's really weirdly like Mr. K has had a tooth torn out, so he has a silly voice.
Yeah.
But he's saying things like, my family hasn't seen me for a month. You know, and Trevor's like, oh, they're gone. You don't have a family now. You're one of the invisible people. You know? And it's relentlessly and pointlessly bleak. You know, as a thing. And it's like, you know, in real life, people probably do torture just because they enjoy doing it. But those are psychopaths. That's not people. That's rare.
Yeah.
You know, rare pieces of shit. It's it's like sub spec ops line. Like it's not even doing a you enjoy this stuff, don't you, as a video game thing, because it's not that fun in the game. Like it's not making a Hotline Miami point either.
No.
You know, it's not a very fun sequence. You just do the mini game, it says. It's a cute quick time event.
It is taking this weird, like, I'm a truth teller kind of thing, right? Which is, you know, like, oh, only a psychopath would torture somebody. You know, like, there's no reason pretending that there's, you know, that there's anything good. That makes them worse because they're hypocrites about it. You know, if we were to admit it, that that's what it's for, then it could be, you know, a more morally pure version of doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And just, also just describing it as inevitable. Like it's going to happen. We should at least be honest about it. And like, I don't want to sound like a naive optimist. Maybe it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can't think of tons of good reasons to torture someone. I'm somebody who can think of reasons to kill people.
Yeah.
But torture is different. You know, that's very different.
Yeah. And then it also gets down to, this is coming out of Trevor, who's supposed to be unsympathetic or whatever. So does that plays weird with what is Rockstar trying to say by putting this in the mouth of their most psychotic character that they've ever made?
But when all of their characters are psychotic, there's no contrast with Trevor.
Yeah.
You know, like again, when they introduce Trevor, it's just like, this guy is more of a psycho than Michael. And Jesus Christ, Michael's a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
You know, Michael sucks. This guy's worse. Like it doesn't, there are too many different shades of black in this for it to have contrast. And then the humor attempts in this really rub me the wrong way. Like he drops off at the airport. He's naked, mind you, like in his underwear. He doesn't have an ID or anything. And then he falls down the stairs comically.
Yeah.
The last little bit is the victim of this falling down the stairs naked, pissing himself or whatever. Like I think there's a joke about him messing himself.
Oh yeah, because you electrocute him with a car battery.
Yeah, you put a car battery up on his nipples, man. I don't know. It's too much for me. Yeah. And I'm not sensitive about violence. I fucking love violence. Like I will play a video game and get into righteous violence in a video game. That I am not a tender froghouse man.
Yeah.
You know, people should know that. This is different. This is pointless and this is like the game hatred.
Yeah.
You this know, is it's just nihilism.
It's very muddled, right? Yeah. And also I don't know. It's muddled, and I think it is trying to have and eat a few too many cakes for the point it is ostensibly trying to make, you know. So I'm not taking like a, you know, like a moral outrage at this, you know.
Moral outrage, it's empty language.
Yeah,
I don't feel like this is saying a thing. I don't think it was worth my time. Yeah. It would be, if it were fun, ironically, it would be, because then it would be saying like, hey, man, it's for the torture. You, the player of the torture, you had fun with this, right? That's an old point.
Yeah.
You know, like that's something that games have been doing for a long time. But at the very least, it is a point. You know, like you can debate whether you like hurting people, don't you, is good. If that is a worthwhile point, that's debatable, but it is a point. This is not a point. It's just saying torture doesn't work, which we all know. We've known forever. And then also, like, it's for the person who does it because they enjoy it. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's just you, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're making up a guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty frustrating, and I don't find this mission very fun.
Right.
A lot of stuff will get erased if something is fun. In Grand Theft Auto 5, I don't think this is particularly fun to do.
Yeah. So. Just a little busy board. It's a little torture hobby busy board.
Torture hobby busy board. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guided by voices. we start our next heist, though.
Yes.
Where Trevor abuses Floyd and Wade into coming to the port. Oh, you work for a port. There's going to be some action. You know, if you got anything valuable, they scout it out.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of, like in the notes here, you got kids on site. Uh-huh. You do just work a lot of big construction equipment slowly and methodically in the section. Yep. It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, well, we got to blend in while we're scouting this place. So, you know, Wade gets pulled to the side immediately because there's a sewage leak or whatever that he's got to go deal with. And, you and Floyd, it's like, well, these containers need moved. So let's move on with the crane. You know, let's climb up and then operate this crane. All right. Well, now we got to move on with the truck. There's a skid steer we can use. Like, yeah, I'm a kid on site, baby.
It's extremely somebody let this kid on a site. It's a very funny mission. People online really hate these. I kind of like them for breaking up the pace.
Personally,
but it's I can understand criticisms against them. But the idea here is there's a section of this ship that's sealed off by Meriwether, which is a private army, you know, PMC.
It's like a Blackwater stand-in.
So we steal a manifest for this. Mm-hmm. Floyd of course gets beat up because Floyd is very abused, and this is our first heist, like independent heist. Trevor just sets this up.
It's Trevor setting this up in the meth lab, and you make our choice. So there are two pieces of valuable military technology on the manifest. There is something that is on the freighter that is docked, and there is something that is being tested offshore. And these are two completely different missions that we could go for. Which one did you do?
I had Michael on the ship sniping. Being covered with a sniper rifle, knocking the thing off the ship into the water, and then grabbing it with the sub.
Okay.
They both have a sub.
Ooh.
So I think I did the ship one.
Okay. Yeah. If you did anything with the ship, like getting onto it, then yes. Yeah.
Yes, I did that. Mm-hmm. I think this might be the heist where we did different stuff.
We did. Yeah. Cause I did the submarine one where you've got to get the submarine, but you also need a cargo chopper. And the cargo chopper is an interesting challenge because it's on a military base. And there's no real way in. Like I circumnavigated the thing, looking for a second way. I was like, nope, you just have to blow in. I did it on a motorcycle so I could be super zippy with it. And then you've got to fly away and lose the tail.
Nice. Yeah. On the ship, it's a very like Metal Gear kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Almost. You have Michael on the ship shooting guards while you are covered by Franklin up on the crane there. Sniping. You can switch between them. Both of them will take care of themselves, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you scuttle the ship by leaving enough charges, which sinks it, and then frees the doodad that you need to get, which then Trevor comes and grabs with a sub, and you drag it out of the area.
Yeah.
So
with this one, you take the sub out to where it's being tested. You loosen the platform that it's on, and it raises the top, and then the chopper will carry it away.
Regardless of which one you do, you all meet at the airstrip at the end, and it goes well. Everyone's pretty happy with this. However, when you get back, Lester's there, and everyone's going crazy.
Yeah.
This is a super weapon they've made. Uh-huh. And he's like, we're going to all get killed. This is too far.
Yeah. Trevor is going to sell a nuke to the Chinese.
Yeah. We can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
So we have to put it back, and Trevor sends Wade to do it.
Yeah. We got another heist here coming. This is called the Blitz Play. The FIB guys want us to seal some bonds. They're headed to the IAA because they lost out on budget negotiations. There's a lot about like their bottom line.
Lots of accusations that the IAA is doing like false flags to justify budget hikes and taking money from the FIB.
One of the least immersive things that happened in this are simi things. Mm-hmm. At one point during this mission, you meet with your handlers at like a cafe. And I was like, fuck this. And I pulled out a shotgun, and then I got a game over, and the message that popped up said, you caused trouble at the cafe. Forfend in a Grand Theft Auto game. Kids, can you imagine the freedom to cause chaos?
hey, it's meant to be be used, not celebrated. Come on.
Yeah, I caused trouble at the cafe. I got a fail state there.
I jostled the scones.
It's the Kidz Bop cover band version of Panic at the Disco, and it got me banned.
Deleted your save.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, we don't go for that kind of thing. We don't care for that kind of stuff at Rockstar.
Yeah, I am really sorry, but we're gonna have to lower your credit score. Oh gosh,
so this is very funny. I knew it wasn't gonna let me. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got to get those bonds, and there's not really a lot of time to plan. Mm-hmm. So Michael, you know, lays out, all right, what we got to do is we got to get a dump truck, we have to get a tow truck, and then get some disguises, and then plant a getaway car, hit the armored car hard, and then make off with the money. Yeah.
Yep. So you get all the pieces, you make the hit, and this turns into a big shootout.
Yeah.
We had to bounce around between the three characters, deal with their different vantage points, like things that are popping up. This isn't the first time we've done this, but something the game does well. So they'll just say, man, I'm in trouble here, and their icon will blink.
Yes.
And you swap to them.
Yeah. It's like you are at this little depot in the middle of a city block, and there are multiple alleys on the way in, and just like, hey, they're coming around the back. So you switch over to Michael and get around and post up there. It's neat. I really enjoy, I'm repeating something from last week, but these places where it just, you can always hop around to where the most activity is happening is such a wonderful thing for the pacing.
Yeah, it's real fun. It's a good innovation, I think.
Yeah.
Once you eventually get this, you go to Dave's guy, who's a guy named Devin Weston, who is a finance guy. This guy is also an asshole and looks like a Winklevoss twin.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you work with me, I can't remember how it comes up. He has a connection with a movie producer who produces movies you like.
It's because Michael's always quoting that shit. He's like, hey, I can tell you're a real sentimental guy, he's playing him, right? Saying like, hey, keep this up. I can get you this connection. I'm invested at this studio with this Solomon Richards, this legendary movie producer. Play your cards right. We'll make the meetup. Right.
Yeah. And you meet him. I couldn't figure out who Solomon Richards was meant to be a pastiche of, if he's meant to be a guy. Oh.
I've got no idea about like old Hollywood producer guy kind of things.
He comes off as a little bit of a jobber, in terms of the movies he makes and his attitude. At first I was like Scorsese, because of course like Michael would like those kind of movies, but it's not. It seemed like a weird missed opportunity, not because it would have been awesome, but because it seems like the kind of thing that Rockstar would do.
It's like find the like the median point between Scorsese and Corman is what this feels like a little bit.
You go and meet him at the movie studio, and he asks Michael to sneak into a club that has an actor that's thinking he's thinking of buying, and convince him to leaving and convince him to return to set. He's gonna get bought out by a guy,
right? Yeah. This actor, he's thinking of leaving the movie, go to this club that he's thinking of buying, get him cornered, be my tough guy, right? Yeah. To get him back here. He's overpaid. He's a no talent. It's blah, blah, blah. This guy and his bodyguard, again, characters returning. This is from The Ballad of Gay Tony.
Oh, yeah. Good for them.
Good for them. Make
somebody
whoop
and holler.
Yeah.
You sneak in, you get him in there, and you make him ride in the helicopter, and you had to fly it erratically to get him to scare him.
Right.
So it says, fly low and close to things. Helicopter is very hard to fly as it is.
Yeah.
I found I crashed this. Which that'll make, fucking scary.
I don't make threats, I make promises.
Exactly. What do I care about this actor? Fuck this up, but eventually you do it. And then Solomon makes you an associate producer. Uh-huh. You know, saying there's going to be more work in the future. You'd be surprised how much a producer needs a murderer.
He completely works them too. He's like, "Hey, I've got something to show you," and it's a it's a title slide. You know, it's associate producer Michael DeSanta.
And this gets him. He loves it.
Yeah. So we got this mission. I fought the law. Devin, he's got an insurance play going on. He wants us to steal 5 valuable cars, that are out there, including 2 that are from these, rich asshole kids. And he's working with Franklin, specifically about this, to get this done. And yes. Franklin is kind of the bait. You need to, go up to them and then challenge them to a race. And then Michael and Trevor are going to run them down disguised as police on motorcycles, get them to get out of the car, hop in, and then drive away.
As chips.
Yeah. Yes.
You do the race, then you do the motorcycle segment. There's some fun dialogue between Michael and Trevor pretending to be cops here until you eventually get them. And it's difficult. They don't stop. So your motorcycles are less fast. So eventually, though, you get back to the garage and you find out, like, listen, you're not going to be paid until you get all 5 cars.
Yeah,
on the list, and don't work for free. This is when you stop.
Yeah. It's when Franklin and Michael are racing each other back in these cars, that Franklin says, like, this is exactly what I was doing when I met you.
Yeah.
It's like I was stealing cars and then racing them. Like, where actually have we gotten?
Yes. Yeah. Next mission, Trevor and Franklin mission called Eye in the Sky. A record producer is hiding a car. This is the next car, hiding a valuable car from his wife as part of the divorce. So we need to get back. But he is cagey, about the surveillance there, and he only knows roughly what neighborhood it's in. Mm-hmm. So we have to do a police chopper that has like a scanner for the car. I find this obnoxious. I didn't like this.
Yeah.
Takes forever. You're scanning license plates. Maybe it's trying to make a point about the surveillance state. Again, it's just presenting it, though.
Yeah, it's doing watchdog stuff, pre-watchdogs, where you're scanning somebody and it's like, oh, they've got an indecent exposure rap or whatever. Yeah.
You eventually you find the garage. Franklin breaks into it, steals the car, and you have to flee from the police.
Bop-a-dee-boop. Yes. Yeah.
You take it to the airport. Yeah. Here.
Yeah, take it there. Devin and his lawyer Molly they're there waiting, and again, he's not going to pay until all 5 cars are done, so just keeping you on the hook.
We get Kaita Libre here. Michael and Trevor go to Martin Madrazo. Martin Madrazo calls him up for a job. His cousin there's also Mrs. Madrazo.
Well, yes. She answers the door. If people are can't recall, because these are all just dudes. Madrazo is the person whose house Michael pulled down with the truck, kind of the inciting incident for going and doing the crimes. He's like, okay, well, he's got he's a big wheel in this town. We got to do jobs for him. But there's a little bit of uncertainty about getting involved, right? Yeah. But you do get to see Patricia.
Yeah, Patricia and Trevor just like, oh, Shantae, just immediately, turn up the heat. Yeah. Madrazo's cousin is turning state's witness, so we need to kill him off by shooting down his plane. He's going to be there. So as Michael, you need to shoot the plane down from the observatory using a high-powered super rifle.
Yeah.
And then Trevor on a dirt bike follows the plane as it crashes over the course of like 20 minutes. It's not quite that, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. It's like on a glide path to crash in the lake.
Like it's kind of awesome. It's a fun mission. You're doing downhill jam shit.
You're on a dirt bike, just fucking blasting through the desert, like off of these hills. It's really good.
It's pretty fun. It's just real silly. Eventually you get there, you kill all the witnesses and take the evidence. And Michael wants to meet up back at Madrazo's, but Trevor says, nah, we're not going to do that.
And so they meet. Michael goes to the meetup point at this grain depot, and Trevor pulls up in Madrazo's car. He was angry that Madrazo wasn't going to pay them.
That happens constantly in this.
Yeah.
Our trio of dumb criminals who keep doing COD missions. Anyone could just be like, hey, you better do this. I guess we got no choice. And then they do it. It's like, we'd rather not pay you. And they're like, I guess we got no choice.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
But Trevor kidnapped Madrazo's wife, Patricia.
Yeah.
And this means Michael can't be in Los Santos for a while. And yep. This is to me the funniest plot in the game.
Yeah.
Just not quite Stockholm syndrome, but like Trevor's just clear admiration for this woman and the actual relationship that forms.
Yes. That is a mutually caring relationship.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know, it's very weird. It also does a thing where it's like, we haven't played as Franklin for a little while and you're probably not choosing Franklin missions. So here you better play as Franklin for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if this it's hard to point out exactly when it happened. I'd be curious if this is universal. Did you have times where it was very unclear what the next mission to do was?
Yeah. I would be bouncing around. You could kind of be
everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
And no letters on the screen. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of times in the game where they just want you to do something on the side to like advance time. You can usually go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
To make this get fixed, but you can also go play darts or whatever.
Yeah.
That happened a lot during this section because you can't be, you have to be Franklin for a little while before you can switch over to these other missions.
What it's doing is you've got to switch over to them and then wait for somebody to text you to say like, yes. Hey, I've got something for you. Let's go meet up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Franklin has to steal another car. At this point, it's a James Bond car from a studio set.
Mm-hmm.
So you knock out the actor, steal his clothes to get near it, and then drive away. The lead actress is still in the car, and she starts pulling on the steering wheel.
This is good.
You eventually kick her out, and you have James Bond powers. So you can drop spikes, stuff like that.
You don't kick her out. You activate the ejector seat.
Yes.
It's like, hey, what's this button do?
Yeah, she flies off into the air. Eventually you take him to the garage and we find Lamar there. Devin is like, hey man, I like Lamar too. Let's bring him back. Like, all right, man, I guess.
Seems reliable to you, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you're just picking random people.
Placing big bets on Lamar. Okay.
Are there no other fucking criminals in this town? This starts a mission called Minor Turbulence where Ron, Trevor's, servant.
His conspiracy theory.
His conspiracy friend.
Yeah.
Tells Trevor about a cache of Meriwether weapons. They're coming in via an airstrip. Trevor wants this. He wants the weapons deal. So he goes to intercept it, leaving Michael with Patricia in his squalid hellhole.
Right. Which Patricia is going to start cleaning up and taking care of.
Yeah. It gets better as it goes on. Yeah. So you steal a crop duster and you fly it into the back of the cargo plane, kill the crew and hijack the plane.
Badass.
Pretty fun. The Air Force unfortunately scrambles jets and shoots you down. So you crash in the Alamo Sea. A fun thing. So this is textually a wash.
Uh-huh.
You can actually get scuba equipment and go get the weapons.
Yeah.
It's optional, but if you want to get a big cache of weapons, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I like controlling this plane as it is inevitably crashing and trying to keep it in the air long enough to make the sea landing.
Yeah.
At the end, Ron, has noticed like, hey Trevor, are you working with the feds? You have an agent Sanchez who wants to meet you and Michael at the cook site. Where Chef is working.
Yeah, no good. This starts our next heist, the Polito score, the setup here. The feds want us to raid this crooked biolab. And this is where they start playing like, oh, you're saving the world. This is the biolab that's providing nerve gas to terrorists. We got to do that to save the world. But the equipment we would need would bankrupt us. So you have to rob a bank.
Right.
We contact Lester and there's a bank out in Polito Bay to the north, like a smaller town.
Yeah. And you're operating like, Lester comes out and you are operating out of the second floor meth lab where, Trevor, pulls out a stew that happens to have a human eyelid in it. So Trevor is a cannibal.
Trevor eats people. You won't eat it. And then he does and vomits a lot. He eats people.
Yeah.
Just in case you're unclear.
Badass.
On the weird subhuman, like golem like creature, this crime Smeagol. This game. When you go and check out the bank, you're just doing normal bank robber stuff. You're testing the alarm response. You shoot the alarm, but the alarm response is really fast and there are way too many cars. It's a small town. What it is crooked cops here make their safety deposit boxes here, like make store their money here
Yeah, it's from all across the county. It's the piggy bank, right? And we rattled it. So they're coming. Like, this is going to actually be really tough because they're going to want to protect this. It's all kept in the safety deposit boxes. So you race Michael and Lester back to the cook site to plan the score. We need to intercept this weapon shipment to the military base in order to have a chance against this heightened response. This is the mission that has the fewest like options to it.
Yes.
Like you just got to go and get the weapons from this.
Yeah, there aren't multiple ways to do this.
Yeah.
There's a military convoy to do it. I T-boned it and drove away with it. Yeah, the different way you're it's up to you how do you get the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can you can set up a roadblock and then snipe them from the hills. It'll take them forever to reach you. If you have a good enough rifle.
This starts a mission called Predator. Your remaining O'Neill brothers, if you remember those guys way from the beginning, are coming after Trevor, so he enlists Franklin and Michael to help take him out. Franklin chases them. They eventually run off the road in the woods because of a deer, and Trevor pilots a chopper over the woods telling Michael where to go to take them out with a thermal scoped rifle.
And then finally there's one left that they can't get to because he's behind a big rock, so Franklin has to lead Chop to him, to take him out. And everybody is asking for clarification from Trevor about what exactly happened here, because his details are not lining up. You know, why he decided to wipe out this entire family line.
Yeah, he murdered everybody.
Yeah.
We do the heist, the Plato score. This is my least favorite of the scores. By like a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. I think this is kind of bad. No. Mission begins. Trevor and Michael are arguing about whether it's inappropriate for Trevor to have kidnapped Patricia and become romantically involved with her. this is where he's calling it, Stockholm syndrome. And he's saying it's real. And Franklin comes up and is like, whatever, man, let's get back on track and do this. I'm just like, oh shit, man, you are always moving the plot forward. Gotta hand it to you, Franklin. You stop people from talking and we do the next mission.
Yep. Serving a vital role in this organization.
You just go into the bank and you get this huge five-star response, but you're in super heavy military gear. You're in heavy armor. Trevor has a chain gun. The idea here is that you are as armed as you're ever going to be, and you are as durable as you're ever going to be. This was interesting. I don't think that the combat system works like that.
No,
particularly well in this. Like, not taking away your mobility and making you that resistant to damage. This mission goes on for fucking ever.
Oh yeah, because your first escape can't work, so you have to cross this entire town on foot.
Like these big, Iron Man suits, basically. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. Eventually, Franklin rides a bulldozer to get you into a chicken factory with this rail connection so you can get on a train.
Then this is a big corridor shooter, getting through to hop on the train to escape. It's just when you take away the cover system and it is just like, hey, you're moving very slowly, it feels very arbitrary when stuff is going to hit you or not. So it's just like, all right, well, I'm just gonna hope that things roll correctly and that I manage to take out enough of these guys in cover, or that nobody comes up behind me, I guess.
It's also where the signaling got bad. I wasn't sure if guys were just going to spawn forever or if there was like, if it's something I needed to do,
right?
And that's a very common video game problem.
Press forward?
Old as the hills. But it's kind of why unlimited spawning guys frustrate me in general. Like, if you're trying to be cinematic, you just make guys pour out until you make the player do the thing you want them to do. That is always less interesting than just presenting an overwhelming force and letting the player decide how they want to deal with that.
Right.
The Grand Theft Auto series has always had a problem rewarding the player for being clever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, when you do things, so these guys, you start off, you're in the alley here, and I'm like, all right, all these cop cars are pulled up. Mm-hmm. Like, I equipped for this. Like, I have a bunch of weapons and stuff. I also made a special trip, so I have, the rail gun or whatever. I had one of the big weapons that blew up cars.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to wait for the cops to cluster up near the cars and blow them up. Mm-hmm. That should buy us some time. It doesn't. Cop cars just keep coming in until you do the thing it tells you to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that in video games, but whatever it is, I don't like it.
It's selective simulation. Like, don't dangle all of this sim stuff in front of me and get me to engage with it and then invalidate it in favor of something that is more, quote, cinematic, and that it is more guided and more authored, but actually less cinematic. And that you're engaging with the arbitrary rules of a game, right?
Nothing will feel less real than when you force cinematography or like a cinematic feel onto a game. Mm-hmm. Like it is a consummate game fucker upper.
Yeah.
It's Grand Theft Auto 5 is the best game in the series because it doesn't do that as often as the previous games. Yeah. This was a rare example of it doing straight up like Grand Theft Auto 3 shit. Like, no. Do it the way we envision it. Mm-hmm. Because if you got away a different way, the story couldn't continue. Like, yes, it fucking would.
the important thing
is it got away. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. It wasn't, what they bought was not worth what they paid.
Uh-huh.
In the scenario.
Yeah. What if I played as Franklin and, I don't know, instead of getting the small boat that would, that would be overwhelmed by the forces, what if I got, a big one, right?
Yeah.
You know, it just, yeah.
What if we parked a helicopter nearby?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things you can do in advance to like prime the thing, which is a joy. You know, I understand people who don't like doing that, but it wouldn't take anything away to leave the option there.
Yeah.
You know, like there are people who don't like thinking that way about games, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But leave the authored way where the game just guides you in, but just don't punish you so hard for deviating from it.
When you buy a Lego set, like, you get the blocks and you get the instructions, but like I can make something cool. Like I can build the model or I can use those pieces, to make something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's not a sniper that like trains a dot on you as soon as you start making a monster out of Legos.
Yeah. I put these two blocks that weren't supposed together. I attached them and they both melted.
Yeah. They released a cloud of ricin. I mean, they got fentanyled. Fuck. So we did this. This leads us to Derailed. Ron gives word, saying like, hey, there's a Meriwether train that is absolutely full of valuables passing through the area. And Trevor hates Meriwether. In addition to swinging their weapons, it's a personal score.
Right.
So he puts this together really quickly. Mm-hmm. Michael, go get a boat. As Trevor, you have to chase down the train on a motorbike and then jump on top of it. Mm-hmm. This is surprisingly tricky because if you slow down, you'll fall between the trains.
Yep. No, you gotta go balls to the wall. Yeah.
Yep. Like Mario jumping over one block gaps.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the engine, take over the train.
Right. And Trevor derails the train over this river, so that the cars fall off the mm-hmm. bridge here, and then Michael has to go inside and salvage whatever's there. And as Trevor, you've got to shoot down this Meriwether response team that is coming in until Michael picks up what we need and we escape.
Yeah. Also on this train is an Aztec idol.
Yeah.
There's a little callback here. When you first went to Madrazo's house with Trevor, he's like, I know what you're thinking. He has all those fertility idols in his house, has a hard time getting it up. We're casing it for valuable stuff. And Michael's like, no, we're not casing him. He'll kill us. Mm-hmm. Michael knows that as well, finds an Aztec fertility idol and gives it to Madrazo as a peace offering under Trevor's nose.
Yeah.
Saying, Trevor, you have to get Patricia back.
Mm-hmm. And so Trevor only agrees when Michael dangles this this bigger score in front of him, saying, hey, we're gonna hit the Union Depository.
They've been talking about it forever. It's the one last job that they want to do.
Yeah, it's the brass ring. And so you've got a what is the song that plays when Trevor is tearfully driving her back? I think it's something by Chicago.
I can't remember which one played. But them having their heart to talk about it is very funny.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. About how they can go. I was like, no, but I'm a wife. I'm married. It's just,
I've made a promise.
If he mistreats you, it's so good. I love their relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we got the money from the Politos Corps in order to go and do this mission, the Daring Daylight Raid on a chemical facility. Dave and Steve call saying, hey, it's time to go do this. It's only Michael who is brought in to get this the rock nerve gas. They say, hey, the IAA is going to use this on a false flag to get more funding. We can't let that happen. We can't let them kill those people. So we've got a Metal Gear Solid in.
Yeah. And the ship, and we're with the other agents.
Right.
Yeah.
We're with them. This is supposed to be a 5-man job, but they didn't get they enough dudes.
Yeah. Lamar would do it.
Yeah. One of them's Dave.
Like he has to do it. And he has real strong feelings about having to actually get his hands dirty.
But you scuba dive in with them, and then you shoot all the way through this lab to get to this canister, and you've got to rush it to this refrigeration unit outside in a container. Just a corridor shooter is what this is.
Yeah, you get to the end, and the IAA is there. It's this huge, you know, shit show. Haynes shoots himself in the leg to pretend to be a double agent and get out of this, and Trevor choppers us away to get us away. This takes us into Hangtan here, where Trevor goes to Floyd and Deborah's home, and she's there where we meet her, and she's losing her shit this whole time. Every time Trevor's talked to Floyd, he's been like, she's probably cheating on you. You are being emasculated by her. What a bitch. And then she shows up and she's losing her mind, and she's reasonably losing her mind, but she also is cheating on him because women. You know, because am I right?
Women do be shopping for other men.
So somebody on Rockstar got cheated on way more than average.
It happens, and I don't expect you to be happy about it, but also.
It's like when you listen to 99 Problems, and you're like, somebody hurt you real bad. You know, like, what is the origin story of this rap song? Who broke your heart, man? Like, it's like that. Somebody broke the heart of the rock star guy, and he's just been taking it on women ever since.
But it's this big blow up argument where Trevor says, like, oh, and she's sleeping around on you. And she's like, oh, but he wanted to save it for marriage, blah, blah, blah. And Trevor loses his patience and kills them.
Gotta put a pin in this real quick. So everywhere when I was reading this to review myself, I don't know if this got passed or whatever, the internet thinks she killed Floyd and then Trevor killed her. And I don't know if that is gamers going against a woman for this or going for Trevor. That's not how I read the scene the same way you have in the notes. And it's very validating because I assumed like I looked away or I missed something.
Right
here, but it just seemed like, you know, Trevor home invaded these people. We talked over it earlier. It's implied earlier that he raped Floyd. Then murders them both. That's how I read it as well. But the internet, if you go on like TV Tropes, you go on summaries, it talks about Deborah killing Floyd, and that is not what I saw. It makes me wonder if that was changed in a re-release.
Like she pulls a gun. But it's on Trevor because he's in her home.
He's in her home. He's been smearing shit on the walls for like a month, you know, and he raped her husband or her fiance. It's all pretty confusing. This is not good Trevor stuff, him doing this. You know, so he kills them, and then he takes Wade the idiot to a strip club saying Floyd will meet you there, and then gives him unlimited lap dances for the rest of the game. An awesome moment of heartwarmingness, according to some tropers. In a way that is just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Family.
Good Lord, Jesus wept. On the way, and this is also when we learn how Trevor acquired Wade. As well.
Wade was on his way to a concert, going through Sandy Springs, stopped to get some drugs. And happened to get it from Trevor. Trevor immediately clocked Wade as a mark, you know, as this was just a year ago is what it was. So Trevor killed Wade's friends and disposed of their bodies in the Alamo Sea, and then took him under his wing.
Just acquired him like a pet, like a Pokemon. Good for it's so funny that these guys are such badass criminals. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things, you know, when people talk about ludonarrative dissonance, right? Like the biggest piece of ludonarrative dissonance in this game, like I understand they're both supposed to be bad people. Why are they such pussies for everyone who gives them a mission?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Trevor just like literally just fucking Hills Have Eyes people and collects them like, you know, candies. Uh-huh. And then the second an FBI guy goes, well, you better do it. He's like, well, I guess I got no choice.
Yeah,
you
know? That's true. Like,
better do it. And they constantly do this. Like, guess I'm not paying you. Oh, I got shit.
That's got nothing you know? To do with the game. That's narrative dissonance.
Yeah, it's just dissonant. Well, I mean, the idea being that in the narrative, he accepts it. In the game, he is meant to be super badass.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it is narrative dissonance as well. Because other times in the narrative, he's super badass and wouldn't take that shit.
He, you know, it is in the narrative. He is, Hills Have Eyes in these people and also taking shit from the FIB. Yeah. That's got nothing to do with what you're doing in the game. Yeah.
Wouldn't want to cause trouble at the cafe. You know,
wouldn't want to become one of the invisible people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so extreme and the swings are so wild. So he goes and he steals a strip club. He gets it through Highlander rules. Because later it's implied he killed the owner and stuffed him in a fridge.
Yep.
That is how you own property in this game with a very robust property buying system. You instead just kill the guy and now you're in a strip club.
It's Franklin who comes in. It's one of the best names for a strip club I've seen. Unicorn.
The vanilla unicorn is very funny.
Yeah.
In terms of the double meanings on both those things for sex shit. I will missionary anybody.
I will use a condom.
Yeah, I will use a condom, any motherfucker. I will practice safe sex with any number of people. Single file, baby.
But Franklin's like, oh yeah, no, the old manager Mickey or just like, yeah, Mickey, yeah, he's around. Yeah
he wanted to get out of the business. So he's there. We kind of remember Michael calls Lester. He's like, listen, we're finally doing the job. Everybody wants to do this. They've been wanting to do it forever. It's their crowning moment of glory. So we start out surveying the score. We need to look for a way to get in the Union Depository, the biggest bank. Mm-hmm. As Trevor, you go out in a chopper with Lester and check out the routes for armored trucks.
Right.
To do that. Trying to find a place where you could either take an armored truck and checking out the excavation site for the Los Santos Metro. We went through these tunnels earlier. In the first heist to escape.
Part of the escape route for getting away from the jewelry store was riding the motorcycles through this. But it's right near the Union Depository. So this is also a possible route. Lester's looking at this. We're following the armored trucks. And there's a point where they're in a tunnel. So that's a place where you could do like a swap out as well, if you wanted to. Yeah.
And you keep saying like, this is our final thing. And Trevor's like, it's our second final one. Mm-hmm. You know, after we do this, we get Brad out of prison, obviously, you know, and Lester evades this.
You should probably talk to Michael.
Yeah. Yep. So doing that, we get this mission here called Burying the Hatchet. Trevor comes over to Michael's house and he's figured it all out.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I just got one question for you. Who's buried in your place?
Because, we know there was a funeral. They put something in the ground, right?
Yeah. What was it? This is where if Michael was smart, he'd be like a bunch of bricks.
I think he even says it. He says like, so it was like bricks or sawdust or something. Trevor is a dog with a bone, right?
Yeah. Well, and also Trevor knows. Like Trevor's not dumb in this. Right.
Yeah. So Trevor runs off. He's going to the airport. He's gonna go back out to Ludendorff, back out to North Yankton. He's gonna dig up that casket to figure out who's in there.
Yes.
So you have to chase after him. And you catch a flight and then you're back in the map from the beginning of the game with that botched job. You're driving in the snow and you're getting these audio flashbacks kind of confirming some details about the way the deal went down. You know, Michael saying like, hey, talking to his wife saying like, yeah, no, just I'm going to die if we keep doing this. I found a way out. I found a way that we can have a new life.
Yeah. Making the deal with Dave Norton. You get to the graveyard here and you have a showdown. At the grave, Trevor dug it up, confirmed that Brad is in the grave. He's not alive in prison. They won't shoot each other. And this gets interrupted by the Chinese showing up.
No.
Real weird. After a long absence of this being a plot line at all, Mr. Chang shows up. Trevor flees. And they talk about how they're going to get Michael because he's the boyfriend.
Yeah,
a little gay panic.
Think of him as like, I'm not his boyfriend.
Just a lot of, you want him, and we do this. I find this pretty hard. You only have a pistol.
Yeah, this is tough. It's a big cover. It's a big cover shooting and escape thing in a graveyard.
Yeah, very Max Payne tone.
No,
To get out of there. Eventually, you get to your car, but the Chinese have you surrounded. Yeah. Trevor took the keys out of your car on your way out to make sure you'd get caught.
Yes.
Yeah. We cut back to Trevor flying back to Sandy Shores. Mm-hmm. Cheng Sr. calls him and says, like, hey, I'm going to take over your whole country. You're in the way. I have your boyfriend hostage.
The whole county. The whole country is a bit ambitious.
Yeah. Well, if you had that weapon. County. I have your boyfriend hostage. And Trevor mocks this.
Yeah. That doesn't just mock this. He straight up just does a mock Chinese accent to him, repeating what he says back to him, and then, hangs up.
Pretty cool.
Good behavior.
So Michael's out of it for a little bit, we're doing side missions for a little while. We get the climax of the car thing. We have Pac-Man. It's time to drive all of the stolen cars for Devin. Lamar got the last one, a really rare time where, like, they give you a list of something and somebody else does one of the things.
Yep.
Trevor says you need to drive all three of them to the dropout point in Plato Bay, riding a car carrier. And you get out of the city. The cops get on your tail because you have stolen cars, and you have to keep the ride steady while Franklin climbs onto the back for the James Bond car to fight off the cops. They knew they had something fun with the James Bond car and wanted to do it again.
Yes. And it's great. This rules. You're doing like Spy Hunter stuff, is what it is, where you've got to take out all of the police who are pursuing you, and you have not just the front cannons, but you also have the ability to just drop unlimited spike like caltrops behind you.
Maybe wonder why there's not a 3D Spy Hunter.
There was,
or like a modern 3D Spy Hunter. Like, it's a fun idea that went away.
They did. It's a PS2 era, as what it was. It was a Spy Hunter game that was, I think it was planned to be a tie-in for a Spy Hunter movie that was going to star The Rock.
Oh,
yeah.
It seems like an idea with legs. Uh-huh. I would not be surprised if like an indie dev got a hold of that and did something pretty fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we get there. Devin isn't there. His legal counsel, Molly, is there. And she says, you're not going to be paid. Mr. Devin is keeping your money and investing it for you.
Yeah, in a fund that he runs.
Yeah, incredible condescension shit.
Yeah. Like,
and Franklin goes, whatever, man, this sucks. I guess. And then he walks away. He calls Lester, and he's like, hey, man, can me and Michael talk about what to do? This stuff sucks. But Michael is offline.
Yeah, yeah.
Lester says, hey, you should probably talk to Trevor about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get involved.
And so Franklin goes back to his aunt's house, and Trevor rolls up, and he's completely unstable. He's on something, stumbling around. I think he might be wearing a dress in this one. He's completely emotional. Okay,
he's an open nerve. Like he's sensitive. That's, one of his things.
Yeah.
He talks about how Michael is kidnapped by the Chinese before stumbling off. He doesn't want to save him. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
And Franklin calls Lester. He's like, hey, this happened. Can you find him? He uses a tracking app. On the phone, finds out he's being held in a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, you've got to chocobo hot and cold to get over to it.
Yeah. Eventually then do a corridor shooter to find Michael. You do some upside down shooting as Michael, hanging above a grinder. You manage to flee.
Yeah. You get back to Michael's house, and Franklin says, like, hey, is that story about you burning all your friends, back in North Yankton, is that true? And Michael admits to it. And says, like, hey, you should really watch your back, not just for me, but we're in over our heads here.
Yeah. And he goes, no, Trevor's after you, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lester texts and says, the FIB contacts want to meet you at the garment factory. That's Lester's house. Mm-hmm. Steve Haynes says that the IAA is onto him, and even the FIB are closing in on him with their investigation. So him and Dave want you to break into the FIB headquarters and delete any data. So this is going to be another heist.
Right. Yeah. And you're going to be paid with the leftover from the Polito score.
Yes. Yeah. You do it. You tail a janitor home. So you can grab his uniform and his ID. He's happy to hand it over. I like this bit that it doesn't become a whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, man, I'll take a day off.
It's admirable that the game waited this long to have a tail this person mission.
Yes.
And how much latitude you have. Like, they knew exactly how much these things sucked. Like, it didn't warn me that I was like, hey, you're getting too close, until I was like, I was walking right behind him as he was walking up to his apartment.
The funny thing about these, so it hadn't done one until, you know, we're like 80% through the game now.
Yeah.
85% through the game. It knows these sucks, but it felt like they had to include one. And yes. we're contractually obligated. Yeah. The thing I noticed doing it this time is the thing that sucks about these is you're driving and then the car that you're following will stop at stoplights, mm-hmm. but there'll be no cars in between you. So you just have to stop half a block away in the middle of the street.
Not suspicious at all. Just to wait for them to go.
Yeah, it's so dorky. And like, there's nothing suspicious about a car pulling up behind you at a stoplight. It's what cars do when you're stopped at a stoplight.
It's the law.
If the AI was here to be like, don't act suspicious,
you know,
that would be a much more interesting challenge because it would encourage you to play by the laws, like follow traffic laws and stuff, which like, I don't play these games to do that. I don't, you know, I run over people and signs all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be a cool challenge. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the AI isn't there. And the only way they can translate that is follow, but don't follow too close.
Yeah.
You know?
Bad mission type. Yeah.
Franklin's there. The next step is to tail the architect to design the headquarters and see if you can get a hard copy of the building plans there.
Yeah, there are no digital copies that Lester can get a hold of, but still somehow this guy is just walking around with them in a briefcase.
Yes. They're his favorite.
Yeah.
He keeps them with him all the time.
You know? It's his phylactery.
He's also got the recipe for Coke. In there.
you would not believe the list of people he's not allowed to fly with.
I know the recipe for every soda in the world. I can only travel by dune buggy and hovercraft by myself. The Omni soda. They call me Legacy. It's my code name. They call me Suicide. I'm a mix of all the sodas that I've ever been.
Yep. I was trying to work that in. That's the
we get one of the worst missions in the game, I think.
Yeah.
Here. This is really irritating. Out of nowhere, Michael decides, okay, it's time to have a family again. You know?
Yeah. He goes home and he drinks himself to sleep watching old movies. He's woken up by Jimmy. And Jimmy basically goes on this rant and meanderingly just says, like, I'm exactly like you, Dad.
I'm an angry little Jonah Hill. You know?
Yeah.
I wish we could just apologize and make up. And you know, Michael, you know, because his family moved out, his whole family. You know?
Yeah.
Michael, you know, says, hey, you know, how's my wife doing? And he says, I wish you'd show up so she'd give a fuck. You know, she's dating that yoga guy and we all hate him.
Yeah.
You know, like father, like son. So they're going to go meet him.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Michael and Jimmy hop in the car. She's at this coffee shop with a yoga instructor, and you roll up, you know, to make your plea. And he's being a jerk, criticizes all of our bowel movements. just by eyeballing us, talking about the kind of tour.
He's
rocking,
got great baldar. Like, yeah, he just knows. He's got spraydar.
Spraydar, there we go. Baldar sounds like a barbarian.
It sounds like a D&D character that I would play. Like, Baldar. Somebody is working on a screenplay nearby because Hollywood Lowell. And Michael picks up the laptop and smashes him for it, asks his wife for a second chance. She says, you know, it's going to have to be different. They're going to meet at the psychologist's office as neutral ground.
Yeah.
Stop at a tattoo parlor to pick up Tracy, making me not take a motorcycle, which sucks.
Yep.
She's at the tattoo parlor with Laszlo, who's saying, like, listen, you can come on Fame or Shame if you suck my dick.
Yes. And you know, she is amenable to this, and Michael is not there for this fucking creep, extorting sex from this, you know, from his daughter. So we do another torture sequence. We have Laszlo, and as you know, Michael, you know, he gets pinned to the chair. You pierce his face in several places, and then, you can choose whether or not to tattoo a cock on his chest or on his back.
Yeah. One or the other, and you cut off his ponytail, his obnoxious ponytail.
Yes.
All that stuff is it's arbitrary and kind of dumb, but it's fine. The thing I don't like is the therapy. section where it's all of them in therapy and they're just screaming at each other.
It's worse than that.
Screeching and screeching.
It was my turn for the bath pillow. It's worse than that. It's not all of them screaming. It is Michael and Amanda screaming at each other while the two kids are just sitting there on their phones.
On their phones. God, kids be on their phones. Satire. Yeah. And out of nowhere, this was a famous thing that I heard about from the game before I played it. Him standing up on the couch and be like, suck my dick. Oh, that'll never happen. Why don't you suck my dick? And now having seen the scene, it doesn't feel like it's connected to the line before.
No, not at all.
It almost feels like they edited out the setup for that. And they're like, this line is too good. We got to include this suck my dick section. This has to be something. Yeah.
You pull this thing out, the entire product falls apart.
And then this happens here. You get the psychologist is not helpful.
He doesn't say anything except to say, group is more expensive. Is extra.
Yeah. But after just screaming at each other to suck each other's dicks and stuff and going on their phones, Amanda's like, okay, I'll move in with you.
Yeah. And it's like,
oh, what? What the fuck happened?
And so you drive home and the family has circled their wagons around each other. Nothing has changed.
Yeah, they're all they're like, saying, oh, like, we're fucked up, but we're fucked up in a good way.
But we're fucked up together, you know?
Yeah. And none of this track has been laid.
None.
You know,
not at all.
It's like there's probably like that's not a I don't think that's that interesting of a thing to do, but you could do it. You know, it's a thing. This is also where you run down your therapist, right? Or does that come up later?
I think it's a culmination of if you do those quote unquote missions, it's side content to go talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
It happened roughly after this. I only did one of those. Okay. You know, I can't remember which other one I did, but at some point your therapist calls you out on something and then leaves and you go and kill him.
Yeah.
So, you know, great. This cuts over to Trevor, who wakes up in his underwear on the beach drunk.
Yeah.
Trevor's back in it.
Yeah. So we've got to take down the bureau, and to do that, we need these plans. And so as Franklin, we basically have to redo that construction hit.
Yeah.
It's the same place, you know, the same building. We have to follow him up this construction site, knock him down and, take his briefcase.
Yeah.
And go back to the garment factory where Lester's laying out the options. And this is where we can choose. Do we create a diversion with some firebombs to make the system go into lockdown where it'll be vulnerable, or do we sneak in by the roof by skydiving in?
Yeah. And I did the distraction one here, not because I didn't want to skydive. I didn't want to do corridor shooting.
Yeah.
Like the corridor shooting in this is much improved, but don't get it twisted. Like, it's not something that I'm going to just do for fun all the time. I don't have an unlimited appetite for it.
Right. And also, like, it's what it railroads you in for so many of these, many of these, like, climactic missions, you know,
and, going and in, you're going to do a lot more of it too at the end here.
Yeah.
So I did the other one. Mm-hmm. So we do the bureau raid. We had to secure a getaway vehicle and a fire truck. The fire truck is fun. You can always call emergency services. Mm-hmm. If you don't start a fire, they'll speed away actually pretty quick. If you want them to stick away for them to get there, you have to have fire around, have something blown up. Mm-hmm. But you get this, you outfit a getaway vehicle. It's the only time you have to outfit one, and improve it. And then as Michael, you walk in as a janitor, you have to mop a lot, here, little mopping mini game, and then place the bombs. When you leave, Franklin and the crew pull up in a fire truck. You blow the bombs, lighting the top of the building on fire here.
Yeah. And then we get backdraft. We're rushing in. You know, we are right on the scene. We're rushing in as firemen, you know, to get up to the top, to the server room. You know, we pull it out, but the building is falling apart faster than it's expected. And one of these gunmen that I brought along that everybody was like, he was one of the only options that I had for it. He was the only option. Like, I don't know, man. Dude, his head's not in the game.
I talked about this last time where, like, it feels like this is going to be a whole developed system with a cast of characters.
Yeah.
It's always just one or two. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's just one. Like, this happened to me as well. Like, I just had to take him.
Yeah.
Franklin gets knocked out and separated from the others. So you had to fight through some agents to catch up. You make your getaway back to Lester's house, where he has burned down the garment factory.
Right.
And they celebrate. They split some moonshine while Michael goes and deals with Dave.
I had an amazing bug happen here on the Xbox version of this. where they there were no props loaded in Lester's room, so there was no furniture. They Lester was sitting in a non-existent chair. They were toasting with non-existent glasses. They were just standing and doing these gestures.
They're doing a
in
stage
a
play.
Yeah. Like, it was a production of Our Town. All that was missing was the umbrellas.
Glitches are a miracle. Anyone who complains about them has no soul. That means you saw an angel. Like, that's an 11-11 for our times. Like, every T-pose means an angel's got its wings. Like,
God is smiling at you.
Dancing instructions from the universe. It's so good. Dave calls and says, listen, we need to debrief. You're like, oh no, we don't, we're fucking done. He's like, we're not done because Trevor has made an enemy out of Meriwether.
Yeah, and Devin is a co-owner of Meriwether. This is a problem for us.
So you go and meet Dave at the court center here overlooking the city. He says, listen, things aren't going to work out like we thought. And Steve walks up with his gun drawn. He's going down. He doesn't want you to testify.
And then this becomes like a seven agency standoff with like 25 people all pointing their guns at each other. And then Meriwether choppers show up. And then a SWAT guy shoots Steve in the leg. This is funny. He shouts, oh God, the same leg. It's the same one he shot himself in. Steve shoots the agent who betrayed him. And then we're in the middle of this shit show.
I try to run away. You get pinned down by a helicopter, but then you switch to Trevor, who is in his soiled dress, who snipes the pilot. He's there to take down the Meriwether people, but maybe on some level, he doesn't want you to get killed by Meriwether.
Yeah. If anybody's going to kill Michael, it's going to be Trevor.
As Michael, you have to shoot your way down to Dave and defend him as you escape, and then outrun a chopper as it pursues you away from the hill. Trevor calls for a meet. You know, he says he's back because he wants to make that last score. After that, we can just part ways or be dead or in hell tormenting each other forever.
So we're working to this climax, but Michael has to do big Hollywood studio stuff.
Bad pacing. You roll up to the studio. Rocco and his goon are roughing up Solomon for sending you after them. And you chase them down and kill them, return to Solomon. And he says, you know, you're just a sentimental thug with nothing interesting to say. So you're overqualified to be in the movie business. Here's a title slide where you are the associate producer.
So I was mistaken. He had dangled the associate producer. And here, you know, by killing two men, you have made it.
You did it, baby.
Yeah.
So you go to meet Solomon there, and Devin's there. Devin and Molly, they have turned this movie. They're tanking at the end to get insurance payout. You know, just it's released. This happens all the time. With Batgirl or whatever recently. They're going to dissolve the studio and build condos. And Molly runs off with what Michael thinks is the only copy of the film. So he chases her. Devin calls and says, hey, don't do this. She's really unstable. She thinks you're a psychopath and you're going to kill her. You know, when you keep saying, I'm not going to kill her. And this is tough because you're doing this really, really long chase in an airport with a police escort on a runway. She's driving erratically. You're driving erratically. Eventually you catch up with her in a hangar.
And she is, you know, running and trying to protect herself from, you know, trying to get away from you. But she gets runs in front of a jet engine and gets sucked through. And gets mulched.
They say it's like going to sleep.
Did you know there was a guy who survived that?
I remember being sucked through. Incredible
He was fucked up afterwards, but it's apparently possible.
Yeah, he could play piano. he had power. He was fucked up like an X-Man. He had cable powers. Like the kid who went over the swing set and Pete and Pete.
Fucker turned inside out.
This is a really hard escape here because the you're at an airport. There aren't very many cars.
And you're in
a big open hangar. Like, this is intentional. I think this is good scenario design. You know, taking away all of your just geometry that you usually have. Like, this took me a couple tries to get away.
Oh yeah, no, I just I hopped into a jet and just very slowly got away, and they did enough damage to me that I like one of my engines was out, and then the cops taking pot shots took out the last one. So I'm on the phone with Solomon, being told like, "Hey, that was, you know, it's all green screen, it's digital, you idiot." The plane is going down, and like it was almost like a real life thing. Like, "Hey, sorry, I don't want to hang up on you because I don't want the mission to not end or whatever, but I need to. I desperately need to jump out of this plane."
That's great. Yeah. I ended up doing a car and ended up running into like a pet peeve I have with all these games, which is like, so I thought like I was going to drive the car into the ocean, and then swim away. I thought that seemed pretty cool. Those fences are car proof.
Yep.
It is very, very flip a coin what things are car proof and what things are not. In this game, and that's frustrating.
Yeah,
like sometimes you can just barrel through shit. Sometimes it stops you like it's made out of diamond.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the only way to find out is to commit to it.
Yeah, it's a slam into it, you know. And then by then you're basically probably shot.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon's arranging a premiere of the movie.
Yes. Franklin, he's over in his big fancy mansion, sitting alone, when his ex-girlfriend comes over, Tanisha. And she's tearing into him, you know, saying like, you're up here looking down on the little people. Well, you know, do you understand what's happening? Your best friend is twisting out in the wind. You know, he's going to be betrayed by Stretch. Like he's headed out to his death up at the sawmill.
And Franklin says shit like, he's not my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps pulling me into trouble and stuff, but again, somebody said it to him again, and that's all it takes to convince Franklin of shit.
Right. Right.
He starts convincing her to leave her fiance for him.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you know, your lifestyle is all hollow. You forgot about the hood. You need to go save your friend. None of this stuff was well set up. Franklin is by far the worst developed character in this game.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. There's probably something interesting there, but they don't do it.
Right.
So you have to go save Lamar. So you speed up to Pluto Bay to meet Michael and Trevor. They're going to help out. Lester says the sawmill is being used by the Ballers for a growing pot growing organization.
Yeah. organization. Yes. Yeah,
it's probably organized.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, you gotta take smaller pots
at the bottom.
you gotta take care of it. Yeah, it's difficult. It's you gotta keep it alive. Set the temperature right so you maximize your yield? The purple hairs and the dank. Crystals. Yeah. Yes,
you need those dank and stickies.
Mm-hmm.
So you get there, you see them dragging Lamar out to shoot him. And as Trevor, you had to pick an assault path. I mean, either be direct using a bulldozer or go in through the trains. But if you do this, Michael will not be able to cover you with his rifle. I do a bulldozer because, of course, I do a bulldozer.
Yeah. You pick it for both Trevor and Michael or for both Trevor and Franklin. I put them both on the bulldozer. Just cause I tried doing Franklin going around the back and he just immediately got iced.
I think I did Franklin going around the back and Trevor in the bulldozer and it still was hard. You know, Franklin, it died a couple times again. I didn't stop to prepare for this because it's like the rhythm of going to a store to buy armor every time in between missions is a chore. There should be like a lifetime subscription to armor you can buy. I have nothing else to do with my money, just save me the trip. This is a really, really big shootout between all the characters.
It's super fun because you can hop over as Michael, you know, sniping people who are giving the other guys trouble, and you just bounce around as you look for Franklin while taking out the Ballers that are there.
Another one of those all three people from once. It's fun.
Yes.
Eventually get there, you drop Lamar off. He says, you know, I'll always be friends with you. And you run in, Franklin runs into Steve and Dave and they say, listen, man, when the time comes, you're gonna have to kill Trevor. It sucks that Trevor stepped in, but he's gotta go.
It doesn't matter what he's done. He's grenade rolling around in the back of the truck. Right.
Yep. Cannot suffer a Trevor.
No.
We get this mission with the premiere, the movie Meltdown. You get dressed up in a tux and then head down the premiere of Meltdown in a limo with Jimmy, with your family. Mm-hmm. You get there and you're on the red carpet. Laszlo is there begging Solomon for an acting job. And when Devin walks up, congratulates Michael and points out like, hey, your wife isn't there. Cause he sent murderers to come kill your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So you've got 2 minutes to get to the house and then save the family, which is under siege by Meriwether troops.
Yep. You get down to the last one. Jimmy cuts the light and kills him with a, puts on his night vision mm-hmm. and hits him with a bong, echoing his playing of Call of Duty or whatever, and then starts teabagging him.
Yeah.
Squatting
over the guy and squatting over Michael by mistake. You can't see. He just wanted to enact this little ritual, because video games.
Yes. Michael is talking on the phone with Lester. He's like, yeah, man, the family moved out of the house. They're probably not going to get murdered again. They're going to try this again. Let's do that final job so we can fucking end this game. So we go to the big score.
Yeah.
The final heist.
Yeah. Against the Union Depository. Of course, Michael and Trevor are bickering. They're arguing about what we got to do. Franklin comes in, tells them, hey, straighten up. And Lester lays out the options. The options, as always, kind of go either obvious or subtle. The obvious one being create a distraction up top while somebody drills in to the vault, into the cages through the subway tunnels. The subtle one is to just hijack the trucks that are full of gold.
Yeah. We both did the same one. We both did the distraction one. I like the subtle one versions, the quiet pass for other heists.
Yeah.
This one, I just didn't want to hijack a armored car.
A truck.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. That didn't sound fun to me. There's weird dialogue here where Trevor's like, of course Michael would choose that option. He's always has to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
The prima donna. I'm like, what? Like, it, I guess, like, you know, like, where'd that come from, man?
The master of self-effacing discretion, Trevor Phillips.
Yeah, well, and then also, like, you know, Michael, who has just done what I told him to do in the video game, you know?
Yeah.
So you go find a getaway vehicle. This is actually the one you have to outfit.
Yes.
You break into the lot via the rooftops and start the drilling machine on the back of a semi-truck. You have to get the drilling machine. This is hard.
Yep.
You can't do this without people knowing. You'll always get caught here.
And you need to make an escape.
And a very slow vehicle.
Yeah, and you need to hide. Like, I drove this thing into the river and hit under an overpass.
There's a funny thing that you can do whenever you have to do this with a vehicle, which is get out of the vehicle, go hide, wait for the heat to die down, then get back into the vehicle. Like, they don't want the vehicle. You can just park it somewhere.
Like, they just want you. They can't suffer the insult.
Yeah, it's just like, we don't need that back. We'll replace it. Those are a dime a dozen. But you do that. Then you have to steal flatbed train cars and an engine using a helicopter. This is a pain in the ass. It's like you got
to make three trips.
Lifter, this is all set up. You start the mission with Michael making the distraction, trying to rob the front entrance of the bank, which is suicidal, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. And as Franklin, you drive the driller and go through the wall of the vault to open up the cage. And then Chef, who is the gunman that I brought along, starts loading the gold, taking it out to these cages outside. Whereas Franklin, you are protecting him from the SWAT people who are coming in.
Yeah. Then you put the gold on the helicopter, fly it away as Meriwether choppers kind of chase you. You get to hold, keep them in view so Lester can shoot them. I think this might be where he says you have a wasting disease called wasting my time or whatever, ableism. Shoots them down. You reach the train, you put the gold down, and Michael and Franklin need to escape, the area around the bank and get to the getaway vehicle.
Big long shootout, until you get down there. The shooting in the garage is fun. Because trucks full of full of SWAT officers are rolling in from every direction. This is where grenades really came in handy, actually, because you can just take out a whole car full of them if you throw it right.
A fine climax. Then you get a choice at some point. Before this, Devin comes over to Franklin's house and says, hey man, kill Michael. So you have technically a choice at the end of this, which is like either kill Trevor, kill Michael, or do the third option. I cannot imagine not doing the third option. I watched the other two of them online. They are deeply narratively unsatisfying. I don't know why they're there. Like, it's really weird. Also, with a game with as long of a tail, you are cutting off play. If you do that, you will not be able to do missions and hang out and like have them available for stuff if you kill them.
Yeah.
So like the canonical one seems to be, you know, doing the third option. The other ones are just kind of sad and queasy. Have you watched those?
Yeah. It was a while ago. I don't care for them. It's, you know, just like everybody is bummed out by what happens with it. Like, you know, I think in some of them, one or other of the FBI agents dies as well. There's a little bit to it, but
yeah. Not if I recall, they're both Franklin setting up a meeting, then chasing one of the person. And then one of them, him and Michael help. Michael helps him get Trevor. They're chasing him and Trevor T-bones him. And then Trevor crashes and is pinned under a fuel truck. Okay. And you ignite him and burn him alive. Trevor will not help you kill Michael because Trevor likes loyalty. So you chase Michael to a place and you have to chase him around like catwalks and shit. It's like an outdoor thing until eventually, you know, and he tries to say like, no, we should team up. And you're just like, whatever, man, we can't do it. You know, because you're Franklin, you don't have a personality.
Right.
And then you knock him off of a thing and he falls to his death.
Yeah.
They're both huge bummers. I can't imagine anyone wanting that ending, even if you hate these characters.
Right.
It's weird.
What's funny is, you know, like Devin lays it out. He says, oh, you got option A, kill Michael, option B, kill Trevor, or option C, you know, a death wish where you go and take out everybody who's wronged you.
Yeah.
And this is a video game. So do not make the cost of me getting the golden ending. Oh, you end up having a climactic mission where everybody
you get revenge on everyone who's been annoying to you for 60 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's just strange that they put so much care and time into the other ones.
Yeah.
It makes me think that those endings were conceived, in a universe in which these characters had more characterization and you could have a stronger opinion of them, non-ludically. Almost like you could have a moral stance that like Michael is good, but Trevor is bad.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. And they, you know, the essential failing of this in terms of characterization has always been that doesn't, we're not in that kind of game.
No.
You know? No. So of course you do the third option. I would love to see the stats.
I would love to see it too. It's also like a weird and fainter echo of what happens at the, of the choice at the end of, Grand Theft Auto 4, which I think is more interesting, which is a choice between saving your cousin, or saving your main love interest who you're going to get married to, you know, just, like which version of family is, are you going to prize? It forces you. Yeah.
I could see that being, I didn't get to the end of that game.
Why would you?
I don't think it's very good. So Franklin calls Lester and Lester says, you know, Lester's only idea is, you know, okay, we'll kill Michael, then Trevor. But you say, you know, there's another way. We can set up an ambush, you know, to thin out the Meriwether and FIB troops, like sleepers in Seattle them, where they go and they fight each other and then hit the people who have been extorting us.
Yes. Yeah. So we can set up this ambush at a steel foundry. Right.
Yep.
You show up, Michael and Trevor bickering over Michael's choice to bring a rifle to this.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Franklin has to top them. He's taken the lead on this, which he has done literally every time.
It's not even the lead. He's just saying, stop. Let's just do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's play the video game, you know?
Yeah. Focus.
They do it. And this is another very long but fun factory like shootout where you can switch between anybody. Lamar is helpful outside. Sometimes you have to go help him and everything. It's good. You get to the end and you talk next steps. This is very funny. You choose the people you have to kill and it's everyone's arch enemies.
Yep.
And you do a Marvel Comics, let's switch up our enemies. But between the three of them, you have Steve Haynes, who has been obnoxious to the player forever. Then Mr. Chang and Stretch, who I have no particularly strong feelings about, who barely showed up in the game. I don't care about them. They're not well sketched. You know,
Steve is definitely the one that you have the most motivation to go after. Mr. Chang has been a minor factor in Trevor's storyline. And then like Franklin just puts it together on the way to this where it's like, all the things that have gone wrong with us. It's Stretch. He defected to the boss when he was in prison.
Who's us? You got a mouse in your pocket? Like, I have not been playing that game. Like, it's more just like, I want to have one too. It reminds me of the Venture Brothers when Brainulo makes old team Venture fight their crushes. And Humunguloid's like, no one for Humunguloid. And Axeman's like, come on, good guy. Franklin's just like, no one for Franklin. And it's like, I guess it'll be Stretch. So then it's Devin. Everybody switches just for, I don't know.
Yeah, like crisscross for strangers on a train reasons.
Yeah, let's strangers on a train this. So you choose the order you do it in. Mr. Chang is at a beach club. Franklin's taking him out. Mm-hmm. He will leave as he sees you approach.
Yeah.
You can take him. I blew up his car before he left.
Yeah.
You can blow him up. Take him out. It's a car chase. Stretch is playing basketball here. Mm-hmm. And you do this as Michael. You can just run over all of them, which is what
you just plow through them, and then the remaining ones will chase after you. And
so apparently if you walk up as Michael, you do a duel with him. All the other ballers back off and you get into a fist fight with him.
That's really dumb.
it makes no sense. I can't imagine not doing it. I just ran over a basketball court. I'd live in the dream. You know, and then Steve Haynes is taping an episode of his show. He's turning his experience into a show. And as Trevor, you snipe him.
Yeah. And then get away. He's up in a Ferris wheel. So you gotta find the right vantage point, to do this. And then make your escape.
This whole thing is a victory lap. None of this is super hard. The climactic part was, you know, the factory shootout.
Yes. Yeah. So, since Trevor did the last one, you go after Devin.
He's the one who hates Devin the most. There's a line that presages this earlier where like he talks about hating Devin
and he's like, what do you want? Him.
Yeah. Well, I want him to understand that no matter how much money he has, it can't protect him from a guy like me.
Yes.
You know, like that is a badass line.
Mm-hmm. So you take out his Meriwether guard, and he's hiding in a deck box out by his pool. Trevor's not going to take all this. You know, he loads him into the back of his own car and you drive him up to this place on the North Coast, where everybody is, kind of standing around him.
Yep. You give him a little speech about the problem with his sort of capitalism, and then push his car over the cliff. So he'll drown in the trunk of his car. And the group continues to stay together. You know, the group is flawed and fucked up. We're mismatched friends, but we're good. Franklin tells the others, like, you got me terrified in middle age. There's a nice little moment here. Trevor drove the car that they pushed in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have a ride. He kind of looks around awkwardly and then walks away. It's cute. It's a nice little touch of detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, we're fucked up and none of us need to change. Yes. But, you know, we're fucked up together. That makes much more sense than Michael's family.
It's not a good theme, but it is more earned here. Significantly so. And then you get the end. That's the end of the game if you want it to be. It will continue to go on for eternity if you'd like it to.
Yes. There's all kinds. You can go hunt Bigfoot if you want to.
Yeah, go hunt Bigfoot, go do missions for Trevor's mom, go do like anything. You know, like you can keep playing, do all the shit that you didn't do before.
Buy all the businesses, buy the theaters and go in and watch the fake movies that they made. There's
none of which are good. I watched one of those early on. It's pretty obnoxious. It's like a parody.
Come on.
It's a parody of an art film. It looks like a Saturday Night Live sketch about an art film, but it goes on for about 15 minutes.
Right.
And like I was ready to be done. At this point, like it's a hard game to sum up because again, I think playing this is very fun. Even talking about it, like it sounds fun to get in a car in this game and drive around.
I mean, you know, it because it is, it's fun. Yeah. You drive fast.
Now, I could just do it. I'd have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
go make some mayhem, right?
Yeah. That is fun. That is undeniably fun. It is also at the same time a game that is like writing wise pretty incoherent and shitty, I think.
It's not swinging at, it is not swinging at pathos the way that Grand Theft Auto 4 did, I think, to its benefit. You know, like it is fine having a Trevor and just having senseless mayhem or whatever, you know. I don't know that we're ever going to do like a Saints Row game, for contrast. I think those are much more coherent, and kind of eat Rockstar's lunch a little bit when it comes to just understanding exactly what it is, you know?
Yeah. They're more honest. Like, and that's always the argument that has been like, I'm not a big Saints Row guy. I've tried playing 3 and 4, and couldn't get into them. Mm-hmm. I don't like how they feel. Is the main thing. Like if they were fun, Mm-hmm. You know, to in my hands, I would probably have a better time with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I believe that they are more honest about their camp.
Yeah,
and what they do.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, but like it, you know, I would be, we would be dishonest if we didn't call this an incredibly impressive game that is very fun to play. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of where I come down on it. And it's conflicting, right? Because you've got to engage with the content. It is going to have characters say shitty and ableist stuff to each other in the missions, even if you skip the cutscenes or whatever. Like the overall philosophy and, you know, picture of America and, you know, crime and ambitious blah 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 that Rockstar is, you know, has been their mission as a company forever, right? Like that is going to be, you know, hitting, it's infused into everything, right? And I don't know that I can tell somebody, you know, who is going to, you know, be unable to get past that, that it's worth it to hop in here and live with that just to get to play the cool shit simulator.
I can't tell anybody that that's worth it.
No,
and I especially
no.
can't tell anybody who is somebody who is dealing with jokes at their expense in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that feels immoral to me to ask somebody to get over that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're saying that. You're conflicted about that. I know we're on the same page. Yeah. I'm just saying it can be even worse because it's a game with targets, right?
Yeah, there's collateral damage in this. Yeah.
There is a sadness to this game about how much care and love is put into presenting a working world in it and to this end.
Yeah.
It makes me, I am sometimes, you know, there is a thing that indie game developers will do online that where they'll kind of angst about not getting budgets, right? Like we're starting Real Lich Hours. That started a whole discourse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Should this be nominated for best indie game? Even if that is technically true.
Even weird shit like, is it irresponsible for this to come out because it sets unrealistic expectations? You know?
Sorry. Like, that is bizarre.
That created incredibly bonkers takes that people published on gaming websites and got paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but the where I'm sympathetic to that is you look at a game like this that had infinity money put into it, effectively infinite money, more the money than either of us could spend in a lifetime put into it. So, you know, infinite man hours, more hours than we'll have on Earth, you know, like all of these things. And it's not put towards a higher aim than being fun on one hand and gross on the other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it activates my core, you know, por que no los dos stuff so hard.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing I will say with like Saints Row is like for those, like I don't think those are funny, but they're not gross. It's just on one end, you know, it's a little bit less fun and it's not funny, but not gross to me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that is a more virtuous thing. I want them both pretty bad if you're going to put this much money into things. I'm happy with smaller shit, of course, but like, man, can you imagine like this with, I'm not even asking for like high art.
No, you know? I'm just asking.
Video game story. Like, give me a fucking The Last of Us with this, you know, with this kind of world. Like, give me, you know, a new Deus Ex game. Give me a Mankind Divided level story with this.
Games can and should exist at every scale. Right.
Yes.
I'm not going to, you know, with a stroke of a pen, you know, wish an entire, you know, section of the industry out of existence. I think that there's something of value to be found in them. I'm not asking for incredibly high art. I'm not asking for it to be as, you know, kind of overwrought and maudlin as a The Last of Us. I'm not asking it to like to make, you know, huge
Kentucky
swings
Theft or Zero.
Yeah. I'm not asking it to be virtuous in any real way, right?
No.
In terms of what kind of story it's trying to tell or what kind of mission is there. I just would like for them to not settle for the easiest joke possible with it.
I would love to not be repulsed.
Make this be funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would love to play this kind of thing and at least feel like I'm not being pushed away by how disgusting the word elements of this are.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be great. You know, give me a good for video game story.
Yeah.
And again, the secondary, there's fucking, it's a tragedy onion because the macro plot of this is a good for video game story.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like we talked about that. There's tons of potential in that. The part where Michael is having that dream sequence and he's replaying or when he's driving out to Yankton, rather, you're having the flashbacks about the argument you made about getting out.
Yeah.
That is compelling. Like the idea of like you being, this is the one thing you're good at. You are a criminal, but that's not sustainable. And you have a family.
Yes.
Like you have other stuff you have to care about. That is tried and true and tested shit that you can mine a lot of humanity out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then that family that he does it for has the fucking therapy scene,
yeah.
Where brothers call sisters gapers. And, you know, every wife is a cheating skank because that's women in this world. And like, it just by existing in a subset where humanity cannot exist, like mm-hmm. it just absolutely biffs that shit. So the a perfectly good plot is wasted.
Yeah. Here.
And I hate that for it. Like I mm-hmm. like this game. I had fun the entire time, basically. Yep. It's 60 hours or whatever. I paid like, I think it was 50 hours was my play clock for this, mm-hmm. which is you can beat it quicker than that, but that's a long time. Yep. That is a lot of prep for work. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. It was fun. Yeah. It's just the missed potential is staggering of this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. With just kind of a bit more judicious and artful, I think, I don't know, tone, like ear for tone, I think,
yeah.
you know, it's hard, you know, because there are people who fucking love this. And
that's the thing too, is like, I'm saying that I can only describe what I want. You know, I can't describe what other people want. For a lot of gamers, not only is this a fun video game, it's also hilarious and good.
Yeah.
There are people who see this and then like the son calls the sister a gaping wide on and they're like, lol, this is very funny to me. And you know what? If that's, you know, sure. I can't do anything about those people existing. You know, if that's your attitude, you know, you're winning because mm-hmm. the most expensive games in the world are coming out for you.
Yes. Yeah. You
know? So
I wish I wasn't as conflicted about this because, you know, it has such high highs.
It's very fun. Like in terms of in the hands, it's very fun. It makes me vaguely optimistic about GTA 6.
Oh yeah. No, I'm going to check it out. Yeah.
Everyone who's talked about Red Dead Redemption 2 says that the writing and story stuff is significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on any kind of trajectory, like I haven't played that yet. I'm vaguely interested, but I would
very much like to, but you know,
The enforced slow pace stuff puts me off slow animations of doing everything. Like I don't have a lot of patience for that.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious to see them do something that isn't this. And I'd be curious. I like driving around more than I like horseback riding.
No.
And I like those worlds more. If they do this, you know, they make a GTA 6 and it's in a world that has all that craft and it even if it rises to GTA 4 levels of like,
mm-hmm.
you know, story and stuff, I'll be pretty happy to play it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that is the case.
Yeah.
You know,
I will only play it if it goes woke.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, I didn't think about that. I also need it to go woke. Shit.
Yeah. Shit.
Shit. Yeah. We got the virus,
mm-hmm.
you know, we got that virus. It's also communicable by listening. So everybody listening, this has also got the virus. Unfortunately,
you don't know where I've been.
Yeah, exactly. If you listen to this podcast, you're actually listening to every podcast I've actually listened to. It means, you know, welcome to the left, motherfucker. Anywho. Yeah. If you have anything to say, it is too late now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're hearing this, too late to say anything about this month's games, which are Sayonara Wild Hearts, GTA 5, or The Order 1886. But if you have things to say about next month's games, which are Mass Effect 1 and Slayers X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayers, go to duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yep. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please write in multiple responses. Keep them brief and specific, if possible.
We appreciate that. Yeah. It is not too late to mark your calendars for DuckStream 2023, the weekend of December 1st to December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
No announcements yet because we're still getting this is a complicated thing.
Yeah.
But we're going to have some guest blocks on this. We have fun stuff planned.
We do.
It is going to be good.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to it. Raising money for a great cause. The Transactive Gender Project out of Lewis and Clark College provides education and services for trans youth, their families, and their communities. This is going to, we're coming up on like 10 years of doing this. Might be the 10th year. Time is meaningless.
I can't be expected. Numbers are fake. I don't want to remember them.
What is meaningful is just how generous everybody's been in the past. And always it is a heartwarming. It is a heartwarming event. So
yeah, getting to do it is meaningful. Mm-hmm. So if you cannot donate, please spread the word. Please tune in. And you can help us out by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You'll get our premium episodes. So this month that is The Order 1886. Next month it is Slayers. All of our previous ones and all of our future ones.
Yeah. As long as you stay. It's not like you do it once and then you continue getting them.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to listen to them. It is we consider it to be a very good bargain.
Yes.
$5 a month gets you that. $10 a month gets you even more. Mm-hmm. Some of our best shows are there. And then up from there, you can start dictating stuff we do on Abject Suffering and WAF. So we try to give a lot of value. We also get access to the Slack, which means you can sit around and talk about video games.
Yeah.
We announced this before. Bonfireside Chat is going into a seasonal model. But if you are hard up for people to talk to about, say, like the New Lords of the Fallen or Lies of P, that channel on our Slack is incredibly active.
Yes.
There are a lot of people on there. You can talk the P organ until the cows come home.
Yeah.
On the Slack.
Making choices of what to do with your P organ. You need input.
The organ. And then before the end of the year, launching Real Lich Hours, our Baldur's Gate 3 podcast. That is, the goal is an audio dragon magazine.
Yeah.
Once a week, going through the game, you know, functioning as a let's play, but also explaining the lore and backstory of both the game and the setting.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Baldur's Gate 3, good game. Should it be so good? Is it moral for it to be as good?
Is it properly right? I mean, it really seems like they should set back and let, not just indie developers, but
my
me.
Indie game. Me, yeah, personally.
Me have that, the money and resources and success. It is also just a phenomenal game. You will enjoy, I think.
Yeah. Also phenomenal, our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Absolutely.
For helping us put these episodes together and putting them out. Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate her very much. We'll be at Duckstream.
Oh, yes.
Like last year. I think that's about it.
Think so. Lots of admin there. And I'm just going to say, until next time, watch out for Travers.
Yeah. If you left him alive, he's still out there.